Okay, we're picking up from the Gemara 11 lines from the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph with the words of Ela Pshita de Amar. Learning is once again Spatzer Lili Nishmas Shulamis Bas Yaakov Neshama should have an Aliyah. So we were discussing a machlokas between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman with regards to if a person makes a Tnai. The lesson of the Gemara was if a person says a Konem Einai Bishena Hayom Im Ishan Lamachar. So basically, you have a tnai and you have your neder. So that's the shayla, is where the neder is only going to be called the next day. But if you violate that tnai today, so then you're going to be over your neder retroactively. So that day, do we tell you not to sleep? So because if I sleep that day, then the next day, if I also sleep, then I'm going to be violating my neder retroactively, and that would be an Issa D'Oraisa. So Rav Yehuda Amarav tells us that you should not be sleeping today because maybe you'll sleep the next day violating neder. And Rav Nachman said you can be Yoshen Hayom, and we're not choshesh that you might be sleeping tomorrow. That was the Gemara. So the Gemara was discussing a case where clearly, based on the Mishnah, was referring to a case where a person says that you said, Kodim Einai B'Shenin L'Machar Im Ishan Hayom, my eyes are Kodim regarding sleep tomorrow if I sleep today. And L'Chora, we said the Gemara ended off, Ha'amart Kol Yisrim is Darad. And he said above that whenever a person is of the Neder itself, that's going to be careful not to violate it. So therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman would be in agreement in the case that the person was talking about the Neder, not to sleep away, the day of the Tanai, that we do not need to be concerned with the sleep tomorrow. So clearly the Mishnah is referring to that case either. So the Gemara says, El Pshita the Amar, the Mishnah must be referring to a case where you said, Konem Einai B'Shena Hayom Imashon L'Machar. My eyes are going to be Konem regarding sleep today, if I sleep tomorrow. So you make today the day of the possible neder, and tomorrow is the day of the tanai. So the Chora, the Gemara says, V'i lo ne'im ayom. Now, if the person does not actually sleep today, the day where you possibly could violate your neder, kineyam lamachar mai bal yachal devaro ikod. When he sleeps tomorrow, the day of the tanai, and so then they're retroactively violating his neder, what violation of the Isra of bal yachal devaro is there since he did not sleep today? He didn't violate anything. Ela lav b'ninayim. Rather, the Mishnah must be talking about a case where a person actually, in fact, did sleep today. So if he sleeps today and he also sleeps tomorrow, then you're going to be chayav an iser d'oraisa for violating your neder. What do we see, though? That the point is, alma isa d'ninayim. We see that it's possible for the madir to be able to sleep today. That was the whole wrong point of the Rav Yehuda. This now is going to be a kasha against the Shita of Rav Yehuda. The Mishnah is telling us that this idea that the person is allowed to sleep today, that was the whole purpose of the Mishnah the Gemara is fleshing out right now. So therefore, we have the kasha in Rav Yehuda. It was a long stretch to flesh out this kasha, but that is now the kasha of Rav Yehuda, that it seems to be indicated from the Mishnah that one is, in fact, allowed to be sleeping today, and then if he does in fact violate that by sleeping tomorrow, then he would be over the Isra D'Oraisa, but Be'etzem, he was allowed to sleep today. So then now the Gemara wants to answer Rav Yehuda, for Rav Yehuda. Kiktani, when the Mishnah tells us that the Madir is going to be violating the Isra D'Oraisa of Bal Yachal Dvaro, is telling us the Inayim. That means if he sleeps today, he is going to subject himself to a possible Isra D'Oraisa of the Isra. Since he might in fact be over the Isra D'Oraisa retroactively, then he should not be sleeping today. So therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that we are saying, a person saying that, konem einai b'sheina, if I sleep today, which is only the tanai, which is the possible neder, or if I decide to sleep tomorrow, which is going to be the ned, which is going to be the tanai. Sorry, I got to repeat again. The first day is going to be when you're possibly violating the neder, if you sleep tomorrow, which is your tanai. But really, it means the exact opposite of what you would have thought, meaning he's going to be over the Isra D'Oraisa of Bal Yachal Dvaro, doesn't mean that the Madir is allowed to tell, to violate his word. Rather, it means that since sleeping today makes him over the Isra D'Oraisa, if he will end up not sleeping tomorrow, sleeping tomorrow, then you're going to be violating your Isra. That's what the Gemara is understanding for one potential answer for Rav Yehuda. Now we have another answer, Rav Yehuda Amar. La'olam k'titani. The Mishnah is referring to the Pasha way that the person says, konem b'shena. So konem, I sleeping. So now, my bal yachal devaro. So how could you tell me that there is bal yachal devaro when he did not mention anything, if he didn't mention anything that is a davar that's tangible? He doesn't, again, we pointed out, one of the nafkamim, that's how we started on yesterday, the end of yesterday, was that the idea of an eder does not go on something which is not tangible? That was the whole question for how do we understand this Mishnah at all? If it's not, the neder is never chal because it's not on something that's tangible. So says the Gemara now, so how are we going to avoid that issue? So that was the first answer. We said kodem enai, and then we had a kasha of Yuda. Now the Gemara is assuming, no, we keep the Mishnah kipshuto. How are we going to answer the fact that there's nothing that's tangible? Midr abanan. So this is a big chiddush that even when you have a neder, which is not a neder that's chal on the level of Daraisa, because as we pointed out, on the level of Daraisa, neder's never chal on something which is not tangible. That was one of the nafkaminas between a neder and a shvua. A person can make a shvua not to sleep if he just says he's not sleeping. However, a person cannot make a neder just stama not sleeping because that's not something that's tangible and it's on a iser chevza. It's on something. So that was one of the main differences. So here the Gemara is introducing the fact that really you're over an iser derabanan. When we say balyachal devaro, that it means that a person makes this type of neder. He's actually forbidden of the idea of midaraisa. But since you make a neder with something which is not going to be actually is not tangible, it's not going to be over an iser deraisa. It's going to be an iser derabanan. When we say balyacha, means balyacha on a level of derabanan. That again is the reason that we do that is because we're making a siag and we don't want you to violate an iser deraisa where a person would accidentally make a neder on something that is tangible and not know the difference. That's one of the reasons that we'll have this iser derabanan according to Ravina. The Ritva points out very interestingly, the Ritva adds into this, and he says that where a person uses the lashon of konem, my sleeping, that would at least refer to the language of a neder, would in fact the iser derabanan kick in. But if he says just the lashon of, let's say the Ritva gives an example, if he says konem b'shena, that konem ani b'shena, so he's saying I'm not going to sleep, which is usually a lashon of a shvua, because you're putting it on yourself, on the itzer gavra, saying ani b'shvua, so then the Ritva says that that would not even be chal, even on the level of derbanan, because you're using the wrong lashon. It's like double reason not to assume it's a problem. You've used the lashon of a shvua, which nedarim with shvuas generally are not going to be chal anyway, and then also you used something which is intangible, so then it's not even going to be chal on the level of derabanan. Okay, so that's a very interesting din when we have the iser derabanan and when we don't. That's what the Gemara is introducing right now, that would then, if this is the case, then the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman would not be relevant to this case of the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, Umi ika balyachal midarabanan? Is there really such a thing though that you'd be able to tell me that we can be over an iser derabanan of balyachal? Lechora, if the neder is considered effective, it's going to be deraisa. So the Gemara says, yes, and there is a concept. About Tanya, look, this is one of the examples again. Most of the time it's not like that. V'arei Tanya, we behold, we taught in Braisa, is it a raya now? Dvarim amutarim v'acherim na'agub ben iser. If you have something which is permitted, others treat it as they have a minug to refrain from certain things. We're going to see this, what it means. You're not allowed to permit it before those people. You're not allowed to say that it's mutar, and you're not allowed to do those things that people are knowing ben iser. So Ne'amar lo yachel devaro. It says you shall not desecrate your word. So now we're learning over here that first of all, this is a very important halacha, that this is like the idea of minhagim, is one of the ideas of minhagim is based on this gemara right now. That a person is keeping, let's say for the minhag of Ashkenazim, not to eat meat in the 9 days. So where's that? So we have over here that a person is not allowed to be matir for an Ashkenaz, again, without choler or anything, but just for an example. We're not allowed to give them meat, because me'ikar din of the Gemara is shavu'l shechalbo, really, me'ikar din, maybe even only Erev Tishabov. So we extend that way. We go already from Rosh Chodesh Av, we don't eat meat. So that is something which you're not allowed to eat meat in front of them. And also, you are also not allowed to be matir for Ashkenazi. He says, stomach, I says, I'm really in the mood for meat. He says, okay, go eat it. No, obviously you're not allowed to do that. Shenemar lo yachel devara. So now, again, this is the idea of having a minhag to be machmer and something. So lechora, the way we're understanding it is lashon of devaro. Devaro is your word, as opposed to why don't we use lashon of neder? That sometimes something which isn't a full-fledged neder is only devaro, is also not allowed to be violated. So that means over here, that's the Gemara's an additional level of understanding this pasuk, that a person is allowed to, is supposed to be keeping even devaro, even the things that are not his neder, but a davar, which is like a minhag or something like that. Even if you didn't formally make a bepeh, you didn't verbally commit it, still, you must keep this idea. And this is the a din of balyachel on a level of derabanan. Again, the Rishonim point out this is probably only a asmacht in the pasuk, because we say explicitly it's derabanan, but this is a very important thing, that even without saying something, but just doing it, you have then created the minhag. This is why it's very important. I don't know if people realize this. Halacha l'maisa. Shulchan Aruch tells us that a person, if he starts doing a certain minhag tov, let's say a person wants to start davening vasikin, So you should always say it beforehand, b'li neder, because if you daven vasikin, there's even a shot maybe even once, but let's say assume three times for sure. You daven vasikin 3 days in a row, so geshmak, you got yourself a chazaka, but you also, if you don't say b'li neder, you have potentially got yourself into this idea of a din, of a neder, some form of a loyacha devaro that you have committed to doing vasikin, and therefore, by not doing it, you are going to be violating your minug that you've started. So that's why any time that you accept upon yourself a chumrah, you should always say beforehand, I am doing this, b'li neder. It's the lashon. That's what the Shulchan Aruch even tells us that you should. Because even if you don't explicitly say that you're doing a mitzvah neder, that is why you should always say bli neder. That's also, if you notice, the nusach of the Ataras Nedarim that we do in Erev Rosh Hashanah, we actually say that if there's a minag tov that I did three times, then I'm not chaz v'shalom mischarit. That's the lashon we say. I don't regret chaz v'shalom that minag tov. If I wasn't careful in that minag tov, please. Be okay that neder and to be matir that neder and annul that vow. So that's what we're doing because we're actually, that's this din right here, that a person has to be very careful when he does the minhag tov. Again, highly recommended. Do. Go and try to push yourself to do a vasikin, try yourself to push other chumras, but just when you do, important to note that you should be saying you're doing it b'li neder. Okay, very important halacha from the Gemara. It says the Gemara in a Vayter. Tanan, another kashan Rav Yehuda. She'at nehenet li ad ha-pesach im teleichi l'beis avich ad ha-chag. So here's another type of tanai. I'm sure this guy had a very good relationship with his father-in-law, as we're going to see. If a person tells his wife before Pesach that you're not allowed to benefit from me, it's going to be konem until Pesach if you go to your father's house anytime from now until Sukkot. So basically, a guy doesn't want his wife to visit her father's house, so I'm sure he had a great relationship with his father-in-law. So therefore, he makes a neder that if she goes, she's going to be a konem regarding any benefit from him, that he's not allowed to give her any benefit. So therefore, before Pesach, during, let's say, Adar, the husband says, any possible benefit from me should be konem until Pesach the next month, if you visit your father's house between now and Sukkot, which is going to be many months later. So again, if she's going to derive some benefit from the time until Pesach, which she probably did, the neder will be chal, and therefore she should not be, if the husband is going to be giving her benefit, she would be usher then from visiting her father's house until Sukkot. So this is mamish like the case that we have in the Mishnah where, again, your eyes are going to be konem with regards to sleep today. If you sleep tomorrow, it's a tonight, it's taloi on something else. So then what says the Gemara now? Halacha lifnei Pesach, if she did indeed go to her father's house anytime before Pesach, so then halacha is going to be asur banasa out of Pesach. She's going to be prohibited from giving benefit to her husband, from deriving benefit from her husband until Pesach. Asur banasa out of Pesach. She's also derived benefit from her husband until Pesach. Halcha lifnei Pesach. However, this implies though, if she actually went to her father's house before Pesach, asura she's also derived benefit from her husband until Pesach. Lo halcha, she did not go to her father's house. Lo, she's not going to be asur to derive benefit from her husband. Again, even though there's possible that she might after Sukkot. So what do we see from here though? That if she did not go to her father's house before Pesach, so even though she derived benefit from her husband, so if she derived benefit, she's now asur from Pesach until Sukkot to go to her father's house, we still are not choshish that she will in fact do that. So even though that's going to be triggering the neder l'mafreya and retroactively making you violate your neder, nevertheless, we do allow her to derive benefit from that period, from Pesach really until the point of Sukkot, to derive benefit from her husband, even though we're afraid that maybe she can in fact go to her father's house before Sukkot. So and then she would be retroactively violating the neder. This again is against the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba said, Halcha lifnei Pesach. If she actually went to her father's house before Pesach, Asura v'loike. She's usher to derive benefit from her husband until Pesach, and she'd require Malkus. She's going to get Malkus because she already violated the neder when she says she's going to be over there, Bal Yachel. Lo halcha, she did not go to her father's house, Asura ba'alma. She's usher to derive benefit from her husband, but she did not going to get Malkus. So basically, she did not yet create the neder. She's usher from deriving benefit only on a level derabana, due to the possibility she might violate the neder. That's how we're understanding it. In her current situation, she might violate the neder, and therefore we've just answered that this can work even for the shita of Rav Yehuda. Now the Ran points out that in the first case where she actually indeed goes to her father's house and then she derived benefit, so the Ran understands that she's the one getting Malkus for violating the Kona. But wait a second, who's the one who made the neder? So the husband made the neder. So the Ran says that when you say lo yachel devaro, does not mean that just the neder should not be violated by the madir, by the person making the neder himself. According to the Ran, a really big chiddush right now, it's telling us that the madir shall also, that the lo yachel is on everybody. Everyone should make sure that the madir is not going to be violating his halacha. So if you cause the madir directly to violate his neder because of you, so then that apparently is going to create the isser that everybody has a chiyuv to keep, including his wife, and therefore the woman is going to be violating this halacha, and the husband is not going to be chayav malkus for the fact that his wife violated the isser according to the Ran, and that would be her problem. That is the shita of the Ran. The Ran then himself quotes the Rambam and says, no, the person who makes the neder is the one who's going to be considered the one who's chayav, and he's going to be chayav malkus. The husband is going to be chayav malkus if he gives her any benefit because it was his neder. So the konam is going to be a neder which is on him, and therefore it's going to make the wife usher to the husband, and the isser is going to be on him because it's his neder. Very fascinating machlokas, who exactly is going to be chayav malkus. And according to the Rambam, when Rabbi Abba says asura velokes, so lechora meant asura veloka, he's saying no, asura veloke, he's going to be asura kama, it's usher, she's also derived benefit from her husband, and then loke, he's getting malkus. Not necessarily the way I would have read it without understanding the Rambam, but it's definitely, it also fits to say like the Rambam that really the person who's making the neder is the one who should be the one who violated the isser. So now the Gemara continues another kasha on Rav Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Ema Seifa, but the next part of the Mishnah also told us, Achara Pesach, if a person says after Pesach, if he says that after Pesach, if his wife visits his father's house, Bivali Achal Devaro, she's going to be over the Isser of Bali Achal Devaro. Now, if she didn't derive any benefit from her husband before Pesach, then there is the Meikal Bali Achal. There is no going to be Isser there because she kept the word, and therefore the tonight for the neder was the neder itself had never been triggered by anything. So the Gemara says Elab Shita Disane. So we must be talking about the case. So the Mishnah referring to a case where she did derive benefit from her husband before Pesach, and it's teaching us that if this is the case, and she does in fact go to her father's house, then it's teaching us that then she is retroactively Lamafreya going to be violating Bal Yachal Dvaro due to the fact that she benefited from her husband before Pesach. And what do we see though? Alma Misane, we see that one is allowed to derive benefit from her husband during the time which Limafreya could create that the neder will be over the Isser Dreis of your neder, even though your stipulation is only going to kick in from the Pesach till Sukkot. So that's the question over here. Lechora is telling us that that's going to be mutter. Vetiyut of the Ravyud. Again, mutter meaning that you were allowed to do it in the first place. You ended up violating your neder retroactively. That for sure is asur. But the fact that you did be nana from the husband was okay. So and lechora again, this is going to be a kashin Rav Yehuda, knockout against Rav Yehuda, turning on to the Zav and Beis. It says the Gemara, Kiktani, when the Mishnah teaches us that after Pesach she's going to be over the Isser Bal Yachal Dvaro, it tells us Di'i is Hane Areze Bal Yachal Dvaro, that if she in fact derives benefit from her husband before Pesach, then until Sukkah she is going to be subject to halacha of Bal Yachal Dvaro. However, the Mishnah is telling us that she shouldn't do this, though. That's what we're really telling us, that she might, in fact, create the Isser Bal Yachal Dvaro, and therefore this should not be done, mamish, like Rav Yehuda. So again, what's coming out, that Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda, they have two different understandings of the Mishnah. According to Rav Nachman, we're telling us that the second case is talking us that she's allowed to derive benefit from her husband, and therefore she should be careful not to violate the neder. Rav Yehuda is telling us, no, it's telling us she should not derive benefit from her husband before Pesach, because then she will, in fact, be over the Isser Bal Yachal afterwards. That's what we're telling us over here, and therefore, according to Rav Yehuda, it means that unless she actually visited her husband now, she's not going to be chayav malkus from deriving benefit from her husband. So now the Gemara has another kasha in Rav Yehuda. We keep trying to bring kashas in Rav Yehuda. Tanan, another Mishnah. Sha'at nana li'arachag im telcha leveis avich ala Pesach. The next part of the Mishnah tells us if a person tells his wife before Pesach, that which you're going to be benefit from me is konam until Pesach, if you go to your father's house anytime from now until Pesach. So what's the halacha? Halacha l'pnei Pesach. If she went to her father's house before Pesach, then the neder is chal. Asur banasu arachar. She's ushered from deriving benefit from her husband until Sukkot. Umataras alech achar Pesach. However, she's going to be permitted to go to her father's house after Pesach. Meaning, even if she visits her father's house, she triggers the neder. So then, the halacha of the neder doesn't prevent her from then going against her father's house. It's just she's now ushered to derive benefit from her husband. So I may have thought that since she created this neder, and she's also to benefit from her husband, maybe if she goes again to her father's house, she's going to forget about the neder. Kamash malan, that we're not afraid of that, and she's allowed to go to her father's house again. So then, halchas, if she actually went to her father's house, asur, she derived benefit from her husband from that point forward. Lo halchas, she's not going to her father's house, lo, she's not going to be permitted to derive benefit from her husband, even before Pesach. Again, so what do we see? If she actually derives benefit then she visits her father's house before Pesach, she's going to create the neder retroactively. Yet we say that it is mutter for her to derive benefit before she goes to her father's house without concern the possibility she's then going to have hana from her husband. We see that again, a person is considered reliable even with regards to the tznai that retroactively would have him or her violate the neder. So says the Gemara, Marava, who didn't feel the law chasura? No, that even if she did not yet go to her father's house, she really is usher from deriving benefit from her husband because of the fact that she might go to her father's house. That's going to be the tonight. Halcha, if she did go to her father's house, asura veloka, she's going to get malchus. The loka, rather, she's in the keva. She's going to get malchus. Law chasura, she did not go. Well, it depends who you hold like. If you hold like the Rav, you'll say asura veloka. If you hold like the Ran, you're going to say asura veloka. Lo halcha, asura be'alma. She is then going to be ask her to derive benefit from her husband until Pesach, but she would not get Malkos for such a thing. That is what we're saying. According to Rav Nachman, the meaning of the Mishnah is that the Gemara assumed originally, but according to Rav Yehuda, we're going to give this other example, other inyan, that she's not allowed to do it lechachila, but if she does, she's going to get Malkos. Says the Gemara, another kasha, Meisi Vey, another kasha, Rav Yehuda. The Braisa tells us, Kikar Zu Alai Hayom, Imelech Lamakom Ploni Lamachar. You say this bread is going to be forbidden to me today if I go to such a place tomorrow. So what's the lacha? If achal, you ate the bread today, then hareza b'bal yachal, you're going to be over the iser deraisa of bal yachar. Since he specified the place the next day, since he would thereby be retroactively violating his neder. The braisa does imply, though, that the madir is allowed to eat bread on that day, and we're not concerned that he's going to then not listen and go to that place tomorrow. So says the Gemara, Miktani Oichel. Does the Braisa really say he may eat the bread that day? Ochel Tani. It says, if he happened to eat the bread, meaning you're not supposed to eat the bread. You weren't supposed to eat the bread. If you did eat the bread, then if you in fact went to that next place the next day, then you are going to be over the Isidoraisa of your neder. But it's not telling you should, or you're allowed to eat that bread. You should not be eating that bread according to Rav Yehuda. Now the Braisa continues, Halach, if the Madjer went to the specified place the next day, Hareza v'bal yachal devaro, he's going to be over the iser of bal yachal devaro. Mahalech lo, the Braisa does not tell us that the madir is allowed to go to a specified place. Rather, it implies that the fact that he has this mitzvah, not to bal yachal devaro, which is based on the assumption that he did not eat the bread today, so therefore we're telling us, l'chora, that it was murder to eat the bread again today. Another raya against Rav Yehuda. Again, kashil Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says, "Amar l'chor Rav Yehuda, who did l'itnei mehalech?" It actually could have said that he is allowed to go to that specified the next day. I did the k'tani reisha achal. Since the first mention of the brisa tells us if he ate bread that day, the lo mishani le ochel, it should not have said he may eat since he's not allowed to eat. So halach, so he used lashon of halach in the seifa. So therefore, Rav Yehuda was able to line up the brisa as well. And then the Mishnah continues. Omer l'isha konem shani mishamich. Person says to his wife that konem for my having relations with you. Hareza bal yachal dvar, subject to the iser of bal yachal dvar. So the Gemara asks, wait a second though. V'ha mishtabid la midoraisa, the man has a din d'oraisa to have relations with his wife. D'chsiv she'era ksusasa ve'oinasa lo yigraz. Machlokas and ksubas, I don't understand this pasuk. The Gemara seems to be going with the man d'amar that food, her clothing, and her literally ona is her time where you have to have relations with her. The Gemara and ksubas tells us that we remember that, right? We just had that. That we had the different times where a person is sometimes once a week, sometimes once a month, depending on what his job was, his profession, how often is he at home, and expected to be with his wife. So that is a mitzvah, that's an iser deraisa to not do that. So now, wait a second though, didn't we mention that a neder and an iser chetza is allowed to be chal, a person can be madir, the sukkah in front of him? So why over here is a person not allowed to be madir, the mitzvah of this, the ki'ilu, the mitzvah, so that we're going to say is a different explanation why it's not allowed. Because a person has a shibud, he has a chiyuv to give his wife to have relations with his wife. So that's something that's not yours, it's hers, it's her benefit that you have to be with her. So since it's someone else's property, then you don't have the right to make a neder on someone else's property to asr it to them. You can asr your property, someone else's property onto yourself, but to asr someone else's property onto themselves is going to be asr. So that's why this case, a man is able to, is not able to, rather, that's what the Gemara's kasha, is not able to make such a neder. So the Gemara says, so then how could this work? Again, you have this chiyuv to give your wife relations at a certain point in time per week, so then what's going on over here? So the Gemara says, but Omer Anas Tashmishaych Alai, we're dealing with a case where the husband says to his wife that the benefit of having relations with you is konem upon me. So therefore, he doesn't say that konam my relations with you, but he says the benefit is going to be konam on me. So therefore, what happens? In that case, the husband is saying he's unwilling to have relations with her, meaning he's not having, he's answering the benefit from her to the relations with him. So meaning he's answering the benefit from himself. So the answering the benefit from himself that he's going to have hana, and he is going to have hana. So that way, the neder can in fact be chal. If a woman tells her husband that the benefit of my relations is konam upon you, then kofinosel mishamsho. Then her neder is not chal, and she can have relations with him, and we force her to have relations with him, meaning that they're able to have relations. Because she is under obligation. That's part of the ksuba that the woman also is going to have. She's a moredis, so she doesn't have relations with her husband at the proper time. You can force a divorce and not give her a ksuba for that. So therefore, that's not going to be chal. However, if she says the benefit of your relations is coming up to me, then meaning it's she's foregoing her own right, not his right, then that lashon neder is going to be chal. Aser, she's aser by it. Shein machil l'adam davar aser. Meaning the husband theoretically, in this case, or the other vice versa, whoever was the one who made the neder is not going to be aser. The other spouse is not going to be aser. But that's mamish lifnei iver, because the moment that they have relations, then you've caused that other spouse to violate their neder, because the neder was chal, because the benefit was on them, and that benefit they were aser to have enough from. Therefore, that is the din over here, that a person would, in fact, not be allowed to have relations with them. The Ran has a fascinating question. We say that mitzvahs are lav la'enos nisnu. So if mitzvahs are lav la'enos nisnu, so then the fact that he made the hana aser, but he's doing a mitzvah, so therefore shouldn't we say that mitzvahs lav la'enos nisnu? So the Ran answers that no. That the idea of mitzvahs lav la'enos nisnu is telling us that the mitzvah in itself is not considered a benefit in itself. However, if in the course of performing a mitzvah, a person does derive physical benefit from it, halachically, in terms of nedarim, that for sure is going to be called a benefit. So he gives an example also of like making a neder to not go in the mikvah. A person has to go to the mikvah, he makes a neder not to have enough from the mikvah. So if he's going in the spring in the hot summer, that is going to be usher. That's going to be usher because that you're cooling off and you're enjoying yourself. So therefore, the neder would in fact be chal, and we don't see mitzvahs lav la'enos, so that's not called a benefit. That is a physical benefit that you had in memela as a totzah from your mitzvah. That's still going to be aser. Another fascinating question the Ran seems to understand over here is that if a person, in the case that we're dealing with, the person is making the tashmish aser to himself, that lachora is something which hanas tashmish is something which is intangible. That's something which is not, you can't write, it's not something which is tangible, which we pointed out, midarais is not chal at all. Ravina gave us the answer, I think it was Ravina, that said that it's chal midarabanan. So the Ran asks, wait a second, we have a din darabanan telling us to keep your neder. You have two mitzvahs darais, the guy never had children yet, you have puruvu, and you have the iser darais of l'ona. And or mitzvah the race of owner, wherever you want to define a mitzvah, it's iser. So the Ran explains, you have to assume mitzvah here, because the Ran explains, based on his answer, that it's a sheva al taisen. We know that Chachamim can be okir, davar min haTorah, b'sheva al taisen. He uses this, maybe this is one of the examples, a fascinating Ran. That this is maybe ad kedei kach, that they tell you not to have relations with your wife, so you're acting, you're not doing the mitzvah of owner, you're not doing the mitzvah of puruvu, that they can tell you b'sheva al taisen with their mitzvah. Okay. That others explain that the neder is actually fully effective, and we were talking about a case where you say that, let's say he says like her body is usher to him if they have relations or they're not. So then the body is something which is tangible, and the neder would be chal because of the kasha of the Ran. That's how they explain. You have to explain add those words into the Mishnah. Okay, we're up to the Mishnah, then we'll finish over here. So the Mishnah tells us shvua sheini yashin. So again, as opposed to an nedarim, which we said that the yashin doesn't work because it's not on a cheft, it's on a chefta here. Shvua does work on a person. So you make a shvua, you're not going to sleep, or sheini medaber, I'm not going to speak, or sheini malach, I'm not going to walk a certain place. Aser, all of those are going to be chal on your shvua. As we pointed out, that's the difference between a neder and a shvua. That a neder is not chal on something not tangible, whereas a shvua is. So that's this nafkamina in the Mishnah. Korban lo ochalach. First it says a korban and should not eat of yours. Ha korban sheochalacha. Or a korban that which I eat of yours, these are going to be lechor. Most of these are going to be nedarim. Lo korban al chalach or not korban shall I eat from yours mutar. Because all these cases where it's going to be the madir is going to be saying by the life of the korban, then the it's not going to be chal. So it's a korban something which a person can make a shvu on the korban itself. That's why it's not going to be chal. And ha korban is not going to be chal because it's assumed by the life of the korban which is worthless. So lechor these are actually going to be a shvua shailas over here as opposed to the korban one seems to be a lashon where the neder wasn't being chal. So it seems to be a chilek between the darban and according to the Ran that part of the Mishnah. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we'll pick up with Mani Masnisin tomorrow's daf. Mir Tashem tomorrow.